we're so humbled today that we can stand where angels trod, that we can step into your presence and cry out, Abba Father, because of your spirit that is inside of us today. Father, we are grateful. Not only do we know you, but we are known by you, that we are not strangers stepping into the presence of an almighty God, but children today. And we stand in awe of you, God. We stand in awe of you. We stand amazed by you. We are taken away by who you are. We count ourselves overly blessed just to be close to you, just to be where your presence is, just to be where, King of Glory, we can hear your voice. We count it such a privilege today. Father, we reverence you right now. In these moments together, Lord, we reverence the presence of whom we are in. As we sit at your feet. Oh, may we hear your voice tonight. May we hear your voice tonight. May we see your works. May our eyes be opened. God, I just pray, open blind eyes, deaf ears. May our hearts, Lord, be broken, that we might understand what you want to do in this place today. Let us not miss our visitation. Let us not miss our encounter with you. Let us not miss that touch that comes from you. Let us not leave this place the same way we came. Let our lives be radically changed. You're the one who distinguishes this meeting from every other meeting. You're the one who distinguishes. You're the one who sets this meeting apart. Oh, may we take full advantage. Oh, may we take full advantage. Many people are in this place today. And like the woman with the issue of blood, may we take advantage. May we cry out. May we tell ourselves, if only I could touch the hem of his garments. If only I would get close to him. If only he would speak to me. Oh, today, Father, I pray that there's a hunger that is being stirred on the inside of us, that is causing us, God, not to be content, not to be satisfied with just the usual, with the normal. We pray that there's something that is yearning on the inside of us for more and more of you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless you. Come on, take a moment and tell him how much you love him. How much you honor him. How much you exalt him. Come on, let's appreciate the Lord right now. Come on, let's appreciate him. He's wonderful. Come on, I say, let's appreciate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Well, are you good? Man, it's good to be in the presence of the Lord. You may be seated. I just want to appreciate the worship team. Thank you so much. Man, that was awesome. That was awesome. The presence of God was on that. And it's just so amazing. I really want to just encourage you tonight, man, leave this place with something. Leave this place with something. Cry out in your spirit and say, God, whatever you have for me, I want to live with it. I don't want to leave this place the same way. So many people were around Jesus and left the same way. If they only understood in whose presence they were standing, who was moving alongside them, like blind Bartimaeus, they would have cried out. Not only blind Bartimaeus, but everyone would have been crying out, Jesus, have mercy on me. Tonight I pray that he will have mercy on us and that we will leave this place absolutely changed. I was sharing with my team earlier on, and I was telling them I was reflecting on days and moments and services that I've ever been in that marked such a big difference in my life, that God met with me in that service and everything changed. I don't know about you. Do you have a scale where you see how far you are with the Lord? Well, I do. I always want to gauge. The Bible says examine yourself. So I like examining myself to see where I'm at in my walk with God. But there are moments in my life I can tell you I was in the presence of the Almighty God. Something happened. There are messages that I had from this man. He spoke and I knew it wasn't a man speaking. I knew it was God speaking that altered and changed the direction of my life. Tonight can be that night. Tonight something can be done. Something can be said. You can leave this place with such revelation. God can do something in your heart and your life will never be the same. Let us never take for granted the presence of the Lord. Let us not be casual. Let us not be too familiar. We're not just coming for third Thursday. We are coming to meet with the Almighty God. Amen. I have a question for you. So first of all, I'm Pastor Kevin. For those of you who don't know, you're wondering who is that man just speaking his heart out there. My name is Pastor Kevin. I'm one of the pastors in this house. And I'm so grateful to the Lord for the opportunity to... Thank you for that hand clap. Thank you. Thank you. To be able to speak the word today. But do you ever think about the end? Do you ever think about the end? Like the end. The end of the end. Not just the end, but the end of the end. Not just when you die, but... after that, are you prepared for it? Do you think that what you are currently doing now is setting you up, aiding you to have a great end? Jesus several times speaks to his disciples about the end. By the end, I mean the judgment day. When all this will be over. I mean all this will be over. When real life and real death is going to be decided and what it will be like. He gave us sneak peeks of what is going to, everything is going to be like. Akamwa Kenya of sorts. I remember there were times when people used to be given Mwa Kenyas and they still failed. Tough times. They have the cheat code and they still failed. I remember one time being in school. And our teacher was so confident about his test. He told us, this is an open book exam. 95% of us failed. Open book. He told us, go do your research and come back. So there are some Wakenyas Christ has given us about the end days. For example, I was hungry. I was in prison. I was naked. The people are like, when? When were you ever hungry? Lord, when were you ever in prison? When were you ever naked? When? And they were puzzled. But you and I today already know what the when is. Who is? We've been told. The least you do to this, you've done it to me. We know what we will be asked on that day. My question to you today, what are you doing about it? You know you'll be asked, I was hungry. Who have you fed? I was in prison. Who have you visited? I was naked. Who have you clothed? I mean, here is the Mo Kenya. You're being told exactly how the end will look like. I think about the end all the time. It's how I determine a lot of my decisions day to day. Years ago, I attended a funeral. And buddy, that was a sad funeral. Of course, funerals are sad. But that one was a sad one. Because people had nothing to say about that person. Nothing. Some of us are fighting to have a long life. You might be like Matthew Seller, 965 years. And nothing to be told. Nothing to be said about your life. And I was in this funeral and I was like, what will people say about my life? How will the end look like for me? It started making me think, what do I need to start doing today to make sure that then things can change? I don't know about you, but the older I'm getting, and we are getting old, people. We are getting old. I'm just telling you, when your nieces and nephews are 18 years old, you know you're getting old. Some of you, you come here, hey, Pastor Kevin. I was like, I saw you in Kids House. Wow. We are getting old. And I don't know about you, the older I am getting, the more I start thinking about the end. Some of you, most of us have already reached that half mark. We've reached that half mark. If let's say 70 is the full mark, 70 is a blessed life.
Some of us are right there or we're about to get there. Some of you have turned 30. Hallelujah. Welcome. You're getting older. I don't know about you, but you're getting older. You've reached half. And one of the things I've been wondering, what have you done with those 30 or so years? What have you done with those 20-something years? What have you accomplished so far? If today was it, what will you carry to the other side? What will you stand with and contend with and say, hey, this is what I did? So if we were to be given another 25 years, 30 years, 35 years, that's a second chance. That's a second chance the Lord is giving you to do something with it. Don't waste it. So there's another example, another Mwakenya God gives. And it's from the book of Matthew 25. It speaks of 10 virgins. And it says, 5 of them were foolish. This is the Bible, not me. 5 were sensible. The foolish ones took lamps with them, but no oil. Whereas the other took flasks of oil with their lamps. Now the bridegroom was late, the Bible tells us. So they all went to sleep. It was the middle of the night when the cry rang out, "The bridegroom is here! Go out to meet him!" The Bible tells us they woke up, and 5 of them, realizing they didn't have lamps lit, cried out to the other 5, "Please help us! Please nimosh!" They were telling them, "I'm sorry, I can't nimosh you, because if I nimosh you, mine might go out, and I need to join the party." The Bible says they went to look for that oil, and when they came back, they knocked and they were told, "Depart, I do not know you." This parable is a continuation of a conversation that Jesus started with his disciples in Matthew 24. Jesus tells them what will happen at the end of the age. He gives them the signs which are so significant for the end times. And then he begins chapter 25 by talking about the 10 virgins. And that's what I'm going to spend the next few moments of my time talking about. Worth noting is that at the beginning, all the virgins were the same. All of them were at the same starting point. From the outside, they all looked, they had it all together. They were all dressed up, ready for the party, the end times. You would have assumed they were all prepared for the arrival of the bridegroom just by looking at them. Secondly, they all had the same expectation that the bridegroom was coming, and so they went out to meet him. Not only were they expecting him to come, but they had anticipated his coming. They got ready. Thirdly, the Bible distinguishes them by separating them, by saying 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. And the separation came as a result of how well they really were prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. The separation was how well they were prepared. It's important for you to know that you can be waiting and even expecting, yet miss the coming of the bridegroom. It can be looking all good in the neighborhood. Everyone is thinking you're with us, but you miss the coming of the bridegroom. So what's the key? I have only one point today. Be very well prepared. Let me tell you, a time is coming. And it's coming soon. You go read Matthew 24. It's coming. The signs are out there. We are living in the end times. So many things that are taking place right now, man, the Bible is speaking about it. It's telling us the signs are there. Things are shaking. Christ is coming soon. Be very well prepared. You see, having a lamp and going out to meet the bridegroom was not enough. Some of us think we will make it just with enough. Just enough prayer. Just enough reading of the Bible. Just enough going to church. We see you only on Thursdays. Only on special Sundays, holidays, Easter, there you are. Christmas, there you are. You think you're going to pass by just with just enough that you will make it. The scripture tells us the bridegroom delayed. And what was interesting, all 10 of them slept. Delayed. Doesn't that sound familiar, like in the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus was like, can't you tarry with me 1 hour? I feel like we're in our 1 hour time. I just honestly feel that. But what made the five wise was not that they had lamps, but that they had extra oil put aside. They had something a little bit extra. We are living in a time where we don't have extra for anything. And definitely, we don't have extra for the things of God. We coast by just enough. Just enough. Just the average. There is no one thing that we are going hard for. And if we're really going hard at it, it's pointless. The other day I was watching Jackie Chan movies. Stop laughing at me. At the end of it, I was watching all his stunts. And they were showing all the stunts he's done by himself. This man doesn't use nets. He doesn't use strings like CGI other people. I mean, this guy is falling from the fourth floor all the way down just so that you can be entertained for 2 seconds. I mean, I was like, brother, you're going hard. I mean, who is doing this in life? You guys saw Tom Cruise the other day with the motorcycle stunt. Now everyone is looking forward to that movie because of the motorcycle stunt. We want to see how it will play out. I mean, risking his entire life. For what? For what? Like, seriously? Brother is going extra. That's too extra. So that we can be entertained. I mean, the brother hung on an aeroplane that took off. Why? One mistake. Toma liendanga. But here we are. Where is the extra for the Lord? Where is our extra oil that is keeping us in eager expectation for the coming of the Lord? Let me pause here and say, if you're here and you don't even have a lamp, please start there. You've never given your life to the Lord, please start there. Give your life to the Lord. There is going to be a day of judgment. And let me tell you, you want to be on the right side of that judgment. So don't leave. Once we are done, please come. Let's lead you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let us get you connected to someone who is going to lead your life in such a manner that you're going to end up in the right place. Amen. So with no oil, the lamp was virtually useless. So are you focused on what the outside of the lamp looks like, or do you care for what's on the inside? Clearly, the ones who had the extra oil were prepared and ready for his coming. Those who didn't were not. So how do we get prepared? Simple. The Bible tells us, don't get drunk with wine because it makes you lose control. Instead, keep on being filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the key. Instead of being caught up with the things of this world, and let me tell you, we can be caught up. Man, I remember one time being so caught up. Sitting in a place, blunts are being passed. You know the trick. Puff, puff. Pass to the side. I see we've been to the convention, eh? You're looking at me all mysterious. And buddy, things were getting out of control. Have you ever been so high you never wanted to be that high? That I begged God, I beg you, if you get me out of this, I will never. Have you ever been caught out of control? Why? Instead of being caught out of control, let the Holy Spirit take control. Let him take control. Let me plead with you for a few minutes. What's wrong with the Holy Spirit having a hold of your life? What disadvantage is there? What are you missing out on? We've tried it. We've gone and done it. We've been to the places, and they've left us dry. They've left us empty. Just when you thought you were having fun, you stopped having fun. You thought tonight's the night, eh? We're going to make it happen. By 12 midnight, you want to go home? I'm telling you, you're growing old. By midnight, you're just, I want to go home. I don't want to be with these people. People are holding you, grabbing you, puking on you. A fight has broken out. You're wondering, now why are we fighting? Your friend is telling me you've got my back. You're like, mm-mm. No, I don't. I just want to go home. I remember being in that place. My cousins are like, tuko pamoja. And I'm like, hey. I look at the competition. Today we are in trouble. And I felt like it. I got a genius plan. Something whispered in my ears. And I went and I told them, I hear this guy has a gun. Have you ever seen steam shukain? All of a sudden, everyone is now talking to the guy, sir, we want to apologize for messing with you. I was like, if we get into a fight with this guy, we are in trouble. What disadvantage is there when the Holy Spirit has your life? What dramas are there? You're not an Hollywood movie. What disadvantage? What lack is there when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you? What do you miss out on? Why are we so afraid? Why are we so resistant to the Holy Spirit getting a hold of our lives? What's keeping us away from Him? Why would you want to grieve Him? Why would you want to quench Him? Why would you want to put the brakes on Him? Why? As if what will He do with your life that is so bad that you will regret? Allow the Holy Spirit to take a stronghold over your life. Beg Him. Hear me. Beg Him to lead you. Beg Him to guide you. Beg Him to walk with you. After all, the Bible tells us it's He that will mark us present on the day of judgment. He is the one who will mark you present. Walk with Him closely. When you fail, ask Him to forgive you and lift you up and lead you in the pathway of everlasting life. Let's stop these other things. Let's stop getting drunk with the things of this world. This world is getting evil, buddy. Now, you all know it's getting evil. You know it's getting bad when manze, they are worshiping Satan in front of everyone. You know we've gotten extreme now. You know now all bets are off. Gloves are out. They are out to get us. Now it's not pretentious. Now it's open. Get with God. Get the extra oil. If there is ever a time in our lives that we need to go hard after God, it's now. It's now. This is our moment. Allow the Holy Spirit to get a stronghold over your life. Ask Him, let me come under your control. Dictate my thoughts, my actions. Plead with Him that you might yield to His leading and to His guidings. I will guarantee you, on the day of judgment, you will be the one who is the happiest. You will be the one who is the blessed. You will be the one receiving all the rewards because you allowed yourself on this side of eternity to be ready. Now, this is what's interesting. I told you the 10 slept. The 10 slept, and we get weary. We do. We get tired. This walk is not easy. But what separated the 5 is that they went ahead and put extra so that in case it takes too long, we will still have enough to get into the party. Some of you need to put some extra oil. You've been depending on enough. Enough won't get you. Enough won't get you. You need some extra oil. You need extra of the Holy Spirit. So I want us to stand. We're going to get some extra oil. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to pour some extra on us. Come on, if you need Him, invite Him. The Holy Spirit will never force himself to anyone. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's not the least of the Trinity. He's just the person of the Trinity. He's the one here with us. He's the one who's called the standby, our helper. We recognize we cannot do this life without his help. So we're inviting. Come on, lift your hands in your presence. If you want him, don't do it because I'm asking you. Only if you want him. We are hearkening upon the word that says, ever be filled. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Tonight we are asking for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. Fill us afresh. If there is anything within us that is taking your place, remove it. Remove the junk. Remove the filth. Let us create room for you to come and fill us afresh. Tonight we need you, Holy Spirit. We cannot do this without you. We cannot walk this walk without you. We want to be ready when the bridegroom comes. We want to be able to enjoy the celebrations that will be taking place in heaven. So I'm calling upon you tonight. Let this be a defining moment, a turning point for our lives where, God, we get with you. Have a stronghold over our lives today. Take control here and now. Take control here and now. We surrender. We surrender to your dealings. We surrender to your voice. Anytime we've quenched you, we repent of it. We beg you, have mercy on us, Holy Spirit. Have mercy on us, Holy Spirit. We need you right now.